All right, if you could turn to somebody beside you, around you, and tell them how old you are, or at least what you did the last 2 weeks, go ahead and do that. There's a lot of groaning, so there's some old people here. All right. Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Just let you keep on going then. Sounds like there's some really old people here or really engaged doing things people here. That's great. If you have your Bibles with you today, can you please turn them to 1 John 2? And I had it, and I may have lost it. If you don't have your Bible here today, no worries, we got you. There's the little black ones in front of you, or your little phone will do fine. If you are using the Bibles that are here, turn to 1,193. It's like I really want you to read the Bible with me today. Before we get started, just making sure we're done. All right, wonderful. So let's see how many times I mess up. No, don't count that. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love of for God is truly made complete in him, in them. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new commandment, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. It's the truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister and lives in the light, there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or a sister in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, they do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Verse 12. I am writing to you, dearest children, because your sins have been forgiven on the account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank God that you have sent your Son, your only Son, to die for our sins, Lord. Allow us to focus on you today. Allow us to listen to your word. Allow it to invoke us, to change us, to guide us, to lead us. Lord, allow our ears to be opened and our eyes to see. Lord, thank you for your love in your precious and holy name. Amen. All right, if you haven't already got it so far, I am Stephen. I will be preaching 1 John 2. There's no catchy side title, so if you're a notist, that's what you got. You just got 1 John 2, and we'll go from there. There was a new pastor that went to a church, and he did his first sermon, and he delivered it perfectly. There was hallelujahs, there was raising of hands, there was people just changing their lives. The next week, the pastor stood up and delivered the exact same sermon. there was a little muted. And then the Sunday after that, the exact same sermon. And everybody's just like looking at him like, is this a joke? And one of the elders, kind of sheepishly after the service, you know, went up to the pastor and said, like, why haven't you moved on? And the pastor responded, well, you haven't got the message yet, so I'll just keep on repeating it. So I know we've done 1 John and we're doing 2 John. So if you feel like this is getting repetitive, you guys get it. I'm just doing it just in case you've forgotten. So let me do a quick recap. Our goals today is just to do kind of review 1 John 1. If you haven't already heard what we've gone over, what Fred has said or I have said, after that, I want to kind of go over what are the repeated words or themes and ideas that we are seeing in these verses. So please have your Bible out as we go, because I may not show you as well as what's in your hand or on your phone. And then we'll try to spend as much time on application as we can. I only have one page, so man, buckle yourselves in. We're going fast today. All right. Who is this to? All right. If you remember, these are to the churches that were written in Revelation. So it's the Western Turkey churches. And who wrote this? This is John the Apostle. Not John the Baptist. He doesn't have a funky beard. He doesn't eat locusts and honey and wear like this weird jacket kind of thing. He is an apostle of Jesus. Now, underneath that, it says John and James, the Sons of Thunder. Now, if you have a band and you need a name, Sons of Thunder, put it in there. It'll be good. That's what John and James were referred to in the early church. But does anybody remember? No, John's more common name. A little Bible trivia. What? I'm not sure. I'm not going to say no. Not what I'm looking for. The apostle that Jesus loved. All right. So he went from this Sons of Thunder to the apostle Jesus loved. So we're going to, when we read this, this is his heart's calling, is love and being with God. All right. To remind you why he wrote it to make our joy complete, this communal joy that we have together. The churches are being deceived. It's brand new, Jesus' word, and people are trying to already abuse it and change it and do things to it that aren't actually there. So that Gnosticism is what they're trying to combat. Gnosticism is kind of this belief of belief plus, extra. You need to do this in order to become saved. Or your body doesn't actually matter. Do whatever you want. It's your spirit up in heaven that needs to know this special truth, and you'll get there. So just whatever. Lust, desires of the eyes, the heart, do it, enjoy it, but it's the spirit. And so John is combating that. And lastly, so that you know the name of the Son of God and that you can have eternal life. All right. We have jumped over into this cyclical loop. The first one was the fellowship of God. Now we are in the God's light loop. So we're talking about this theme or idea of God and his light. Often, if we're talking about this linear logic, you have this point and subpoints, point in subpoints. But how John writes it is the idea's loop, and he comes back to it and rephrases it, and he moves into these cycles, so the cyclical logic. It's like, we're already on slide like 6, guys. Are you okay? Just take a breath. Good. Back to it. All right. So we have our the major words that we're seeing in this chapter. I realize you can't see it, so I got my little ICT Digitech. Yeah, be impressed. It took some effort. The big words that we're seeing in this chapter is to know and to abide. So looking at the Greek, I just looked at what it means in the English, but to know is like to remember, to know how to do, or to know like acquainted to a person. So those are the versions of know that are used, but the first one's good, like you know something. abide. We don't ever really say, let's abide in church, or, you know, let's use that word more frequently, but it's to stay or to continue to dwell with. And so John is using those words most frequently, so I wanted you guys to have an idea of kind of what's going on, all right? If you have your Bibles, 1 John 2, 5 to 8. Now, I'm not going to read it again because I just read it, but I just wanted to have a quick look at it. Do you see how know is popping up, is to know his commandments? So he's talking about this old command and a new command. Now, if you're reading this for the first time, you're kind of like me. What command is he actually talking about? He uses the word abide for the first time and this relationship with Christ. Now, if you're also seeing it, you see that there is a little bit of light at the bottom. That light is referred to in the first chapter, and we're seeing it in the second chapter. Okay? Awesome. So I've taken these from a Bible study that I'm doing with Dad, and these are the questions that I was asked, and these kind of stood up for me. And so hopefully I can go through them a little bit, and hopefully you can glean some of this too and pull from it. If you are wanting to do a Bible study with me or get this information, please let me know, and I can send you the questions and how this is laid out, either through our Facebook page or just email from me. I've really appreciated to go through this, and these questions really sparked good thinking. What is Jesus' part in the Christian call to obedience? So look specifically at verse 5 and 6. What's Jesus, and what's that link to our obedience? Thinking time. He's our model. He is how we know what is the light. So if we don't know Jesus, we don't know how to be in the light. And you see that in verse 5 and 6. How can God claim to be loving if he commands obedience from his people? And that is something that we see a lot in our culture. He's just the rules. Just rules. That's all you have is rules. So if you look in verse 7, how can we have love in that? How do we have a loving God? If you have kids, do you let them do whatever they want? Do you say, I think one day I looked over and I see Liam on top of the chain station. I didn't sit there and be like, you do you, have fun. You know, if you fall, I'll help you out. No, we put these boundaries around our kids so they can live in the best possible position. That's loving. That's actually kind. That we don't say, just go over here. Don't go over there. But we put these boundaries so that they can be protected and safe. If we have rebellious people, that's like, don't tell me that. All right. If you go to chapter 2, verse 9 and 11, we see this talk about darkness. It should remind you of the chapter before it, about being in the darkness. And this is where it kind of shakes me a little bit, is are we in the light or are we in the darkness? And what is this big divider in between? Well, it's love. You can see that if we love the Lord, then we love our brothers and sisters. But if we have hatred, I think I just skipped over one. I did. That's okay. So in the big question in the second one that didn't show up on the board is, what is imperative in the connection between light and love? What is the connection between light and love? Well, there's synchronous. Now, I had to look that word up. I'm not going to say that's in my normal vocabulary, synchronous. But to occur at the same time in the same place. You cannot have love without light, and you can't have light without love. They're together happening at the same time. And you know if you're in the light because you have that love. So if you're somebody that's boiled up in rage and you hate a lot of people, this is pointed towards you. And it's pointed towards me. We will be known by our love. And let's finish this off. This poetic children, parents, and young people. So hopefully you can define yourself in one of these categories. Allie, I think I'm going to need you. All right. So you see that at the start, it talks about the little children. And then it talks about the fathers and the young men. Now, not to try to spoil anything, but I think this is more so where you are in your belief. And I say that because where it says little children, that's how he's addressing people throughout 1 John. So if you are new to Christ, you would be a little child. If you have a little bit of time and been in the Word and you're starting to kind of find your feet, you'd be young men. If you're like, I cannot wait to see the Father in heaven, I would say that you're the patriarch, the father. And so you have these different kind of tiers of your relationship with God as you go. So what is John trying to emphasize in this paragraph or in these verses? Oh, good, that came up. I put a little bit more effort to that, so I was a little cheesed off that my other question didn't show up, but this one did. So I tried to break it down into who they're talking about, what's the meaning, and kind of what is the strength behind the person. So if you're the young children in here, this is to you. You're the new Christians. How blessed is it that you know Christ? You have the newbie. You smell like the new car smell. You just have this basic faith that you know the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You don't really know why, but you love the Lord. You are free from your sin. That's one thing that John felt so important to communicate to the young children, that you are free from your sin and that you do know the Father. As you get older, it's so easy to get messed up with messages and ideas, and I gotta do this, and it's merit-based. But early on, when you first have that conversion, when you first trust in the Lord, how great is that? Now, it skips to the Father, which is interesting. I would assume it goes like kids, young men, and then Father, but he goes right to the Father, and he says the same thing twice. So when you see that in the Bible, it's really important. Write it down, remember it. You have known him from the beginning. You have known him from the beginning. And that strength of that continual lifestyle in the light with the Father. Now to the young men, the doers of the church, you are active, you are mature, you have overcome the evil one. You have been tempted throughout your life and you continue to rely on Christ. You are strong and the Word of God abides, lives, remains, stays with you. All right, I love this slide. This is my favorite slide. Now, one thing that I glossed over a little bit too quickly, and Allie, will you pull this up, is Leviticus 19 and 18. It was the one that wasn't there. The old commandment and the new commandment. I went very quickly over that. But the old commandment was, do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That was the old commandment. Love thy neighbor. Now, if you could go back to where we were, Allie, you're doing a great job. Thank you. I know that you are the only one that could do all this. But that's what we always do. I mean, that's not a huge call to love thy neighbor. So the old commandment was to do that, and people would do that. You know, you don't hurt me, and I won't hurt you. But how is that then a new command? How is John comparing the love of Jesus to walk in the light as he has walked, how is there a new commandment in that? Think of the Good Samaritan. That is God's love. The love that goes beyond what is comfortable, beyond what is natural almost. This person that you don't know needs saving. You'd like to walk up the road and just continue on your day, but the love of the Lord calls you to stop and to see if they're all right. The love of the Lord is, let me take you to this inn and spend money out of my own pocket to get you okay. That's the love of the Lord. But if it was me, I'd just, okay, you okay? Good? All right, I'm going to leave. That's the love that I have in my heart for people. But Jesus' love goes all the way up to self-sacrifice. It goes beyond what is normal. And you cannot access that love on your own steam. I barely have time to love my own kids some days. Just be stopped. You know, like, where's the love of the Lord in that, you know? And God is calling us not to just love conveniently, not to love the people who are easy to love, but to love everyone with how Christ loves. That is a tall order. But isn't that changing? Like, imagine every day that you ran into somebody and you loved that well. They're going to say, why? Why do you love that way? Isn't there a moment for you and the Holy Spirit to explain that? So to our young and old, sorry, I got off track. To my young, I hope that you are assured that you find that God loves you and you are in his kingdom. When I was a new Christian, I always felt like, oh, am I really going to go to heaven? Like, am I really good enough? And I get into this merit-based, do I do the right thing? You know that you're doing the right thing, or you know that you are his, you know that you're in the light if you obey him. Now, this is not works-based that, you know, you do good things and then you go to heaven. No. You can look back on how you are obeying and how you are loving and say, I am a part of Lord. I am a part of Jesus, and he is a part of me. So to the young, be assured, obey. It is an indicator. If you have ever been in a science lab and they give you a piece of paper and you can put it in acids and bases, it changes color. Your love should do that. Your love should be, your obedience should be that indicator of, yes, I am a part of Jesus, and he is a part of me. To the old, to love past your expectations, to go beyond what is easy, and to do it as Christ would love and does love. Do you have the love of the Father abiding in you? Can you put that little litmus paper into your own heart, and what color does it come out? Is it your love? Is it this partial love, or is it the true love of the Father? Do you have the love that will transform and change not only yourself, but those around you? Real quick, but that's what I have for you today. I'll invite Heather and the rest of the worship team up. Thank you guys very much for your attention. Please continue to be reading in 1 John, as we will be doing that for the rest of this month. And I think there's a whole, like, I don't know, 10 verses that I skipped today. So I'd like to go back and redo that today. So thank you very much.